pressing record.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Hi.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, my God, Maria.
Yeah. Are we doing a Valley Girl episode?
Oh, my God. Welcome to Sticky Pickles.
Gag me with a spoon.
Ever found yourself in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria. And this is season 2, episode 11 of Sticky Pickles. Friends and nasty roomies. Carol, what is your sticky pickle?
Well, okay. So we have Jess, and she is in her late 20s. She has a job, right? She's a little
good.
Flat.
Okay. The basics.
And, you know, she's got it all, like, life's fine. And she's off to the supermarket.
Okay.
And as she's walking off to the supermarket to do her shopping, she sees a woman struggling locking her door. An older woman.
Oh, we've
right?
all been there.
Quite older, right? And she's dropping stuff and she just can't. And so Jessica goes over and says, hey, do you need any help? And the woman's like, oh, yes, please. I've been having so much trouble. And so Jess helps her out and they get to talking and they're yakking and... The woman is kind of, you know, I don't know, she's spry, quick-witted, cute, you know, bright eyes, all this.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica kind of falls in love with her and she goes, well, where are you going? She goes, supermarket. She goes, I'm going to the supermarket. Off they go together.
Oh, besties.
Exactly. So they become friends, aww, right? And they decide to stop for tea and Jessica learns that Dorothy's had arthritis for years, which is why she has a lot of trouble with her doorknob or holding and grasping stuff. And that's why she's wearing gloves, her hands are all knobbly, and
aww,
you know, her kids are grown and they're away now.
Yeah.
And you know, the goods and the bads getting old, basically all the stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, but she's determined to keep active and spry and all this, and she says, not many years left, but I'm here to dance until the rug's pulled from under my feet.
Good for you, Dorothy.
Right? Dorothy talks about her husband as well. Her husband's bedridden and he's not very well. And she's not making a big drama about it. She's just not very well. Hates strangers in the house. That's why I love to get out. And this is my day. Tuesday's my day. It's when I get to go out and do my stuff.
And she can leave bedridden hubby alone for hours having tea. It's a problem. Okay.
Well, like for 2 hours, right? But it's her time to get, like, it's kind of an agreed. He sounds about like a bit of an asshole, basically.
Oh, uh-oh.
So, so Jessica doesn't ask. She's like, I got you. She goes, well, hey, if you ever want to have tea on Tuesday, becomes a thing.
Oh, how nice.
So they meet every Tuesday.
Can I have a neighbor like that? That sounds great.
And, you know, helps her out with stuff, carries her bags, right? Gets the stuff from the high shelves.
Oh, that is a service that I need. Yes. As a short person, that is
as a short ass.
Yeah, I need that normally. Yeah.
So it's all fantastic. And one day, Jessica's at the supermarket and she sees who, like, the spitting image of Dorothy, but like way younger, like Dorothy's kid. Right. And
ooh,
she's just like, oh, my God, I didn't know her kid was coming. She didn't tell me. And holy. And she thinks, oh, maybe it's not. Maybe I'll just wait and ask Dorothy because I'm seeing her tomorrow.
Yeah.
Talks to Dorothy about it. Dorothy's like, no, like she's in India. Couldn't be her.
OK.
But then the next week, Jessica sees the same person going in to Dorothy's house, like with a key.
What?
Right. So she's like, okay, so her daughter's here and she's not telling me about it. Like what's going on? I thought we were friends. I'm a bit weirded.
That
so
is
she's
weird.
Kind of like, yeah. And she's like, what the hell's going on? First, what do you do? Right. So you're in that scenario where you're like, I think I know somebody. They're obviously keeping their kids from me.
Okay.
And why?
In Jess's situation, like real life, I don't know that I would pry. I would be like, they have their reasons and it's none of my business. Like maybe it's something really awkward or, yeah, maybe the kid's living at home and going, you know, it's really embarrassing for me that I'm a boomerang kid and I don't want anyone knowing that I'm here. So I asked my mom and dad to keep it quiet. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, confronting them, what's the point of that? That's not going to help the friendship. And, like, why get offended? Why get offended about that? It's none of your business. What do you care?
Yeah. We're not entitled to everybody's details. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Jessica feels the same, actually. She says nothing.
Yeah.
And she continues to meet up, right, with Dorothy and...
Maybe dropping a question, being like...
Exactly.
Can I see a picture of your daughter? When's the last time you talked to your daughter?
Yes.
To your daughter. Yeah.
And every time she brings it up, Dorothy changes the topic, clams up.
Yeah, yeah. Is Dorothy like very like a young person in their golden years, or like is she quite senior and maybe?
Well, she's like in her 80s, but like all her marbles are there. She's quick-witted. Okay. She does have arthritis. She has trouble moving, wow. but like brain-wise, all rock.
She's completely
and roll.
Okay. So she's not like forgetting stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is going to get really sad really quickly. Like, Dorothy doesn't know what a key is for. And now I'm really sad. No. Okay.
No. Dorothy's all, she's all over that stuff. Okay. She plays chess, all that stuff.
Good for her. Jeez, she's got me beat. Again, Garry Kasparov coming back up again.
She went slept with him. Yeah.
Wait, okay. She slept with Garry Kasparov? What?
I know.
Oh my, Dorothy's good for you, insane. Dorothy. Sorry, Garry. This is what happens when you bump me from my podcast. Anyway.
Okay, so the inside joke here is on another podcast called Smashing Security. I just interviewed Garry Kasparov, and it overran slightly, infringing on Maria's very important time. Anyway, okay, few weeks go by. She sees this total Dorothy's kid, again, in the local shop.
Okay, so when we say kid, we say like
a... Like a kind of young
okay,
adult.
Okay, not actual child.
No, not a okay. child, sorry. But like a young adult,
Like there's no portrait aging in the attic somewhere, okay.
Yeah, right. Right.
Like, maybe that's what's going on. We're in an Oscar Wilde story. okay.
And so she decides she's going to follow the person. And sure enough, she goes back to Dorothy's house. And, you know, pops in, pops out, and is in the driveway, on the side of the house. And just sitting there, looking at boxes, moving stuff around. Like, just right there! And, you know, Jessica's thinking, I'm just going to introduce myself. Like, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
What do you think? Oh. I mean, there's nothing, is there anything wrong with that?
This feels dangerous. I'm kind of scared. I'm just like, this feels like forbidden knowledge. I don't know. I just, oh gosh. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I would do that. I don't know why, yeah, though. I'm kind of scared. This just feels weird.
I mean, she's thinking, I'm not going to bother the husband. He's like, she's outside.
Has she ever met the husband?
Door.
Has she
ever? Nope. Mm-hmm. Never been in the house. Mm-mm. Because it would bother the husband. It was just like the husband doesn't like strangers in the house. Husband's sick.
I mean, has Dorothy mentioned being like a prosthetic makeup artist or an avid cosplayer? I mean, I'm starting to wonder.
Goddamn person. Okay.
Wait, did I just guess it?
Are you? Yes.
No way. Come on. No way. No.
Let me finish my story and you'll see. You're unbelievable.
No,
oh my God.
I retract.
Jessica approaches, right? Mm-hmm. And the girl lets out a shriek, right? Covers her face, looks away. Like she's seen like a demon or something.
Yeah.
And Jessica's like, what the fuck? And then she hears, okay, fine, fuck, it's me. And she goes, what? She goes, it's me. I'm Dorothy. I'm working on a role for an upcoming play audition. I needed to know what it'd be like to be old. So.
Damn, Dorothy, you're a good actress. you kept this going. And not only that, but an excellent makeup artist. Like, that's a 2-for-1 deal. And one that, like, fools somebody
beautiful
up close.
Skin.
Yeah. I mean. Have you ever tried to put spirit gum on your face and then like those old people prosthetics? That stuff is not convincing on TV, let alone in real life. And she pulled. Okay, so does Jessica have cataracts or anything that would affect her vision?
Yeah, she's goop bottle eyes.
Yeah, that is quite a feat to pull off in real life. Like, I mean, come on, you've seen like people who've been aged up on TV and you're like, yeah, that's very clearly makeup.
Well, she couldn't do her hands, hence the gloves, right?
Yeah, but like changing your voice, changing your gait, you know, all that shit, that's hard. What? Props to you, Dorothy. Jeez. Give that woman an Oscar.
But there is no husband, right? Maybe there is a makeup artist in the house. Who knows? Right? She could have a whole team in there. Maybe Tuesdays are test day.
Apparently, Dorothy is also a well-known TikToker, and she's got her video studio in there doing, like, the little air traffic control dances. And her.
Anyway, you beat me to the punchline. Fuck you. I love you.
I was like, this is so absurd. That can't possibly... Really? But she's an actress. She wanted to know, but like she lied.
Does that bug you, or do you kind of just think, you know what?
Yeah, congrats. That bugs the hell out of me. I would be like, if somebody caught me doing this, I'd be like, the first thing I'd say is, maybe after maybe 10 minutes of keeping that up, it'd be like, okay, I have to come clean. I wouldn't keep that going for weeks. That's so mean.
But what if, okay, it's a bit ageist of you, just saying.
Why is it ageist of me?
Well, in the same way that someone might want to dress like a boy for a while if they were a girl, or vice versa, to test out a new gender and not be completely open about it.
It's not the same situation. This is an actress.
Okay, trying I'm just to trying. I'm working.
Yeah, I was like, props, but that's a bit of a stretch. Like
a tiny bit like, elastic there, Carl.
Yeah, like somebody trying out a new actual identity for themselves is great. Somebody being like, I'm pretending for a role and I'm going to just keep lying to your face about it.
And getting help, yeah. Right? And getting help, like, carrying the bags and
and the door. Dorothy's like a power lifter. She never needed any help at all. She's like, I could power lift Jess. No, I mean, it's like it's she's pretending this whole time, and you know, it's not like she's like, I'm trying out a new identity as an old person because I'm forever going to be an older person.
Do you know what? In the interest of wanting to have interesting people in my life, I'd probably just call it quits and be like, let's be buddies. Who cares? That was good. I was fooled. You're obviously interesting.
I think that would depend on my mood for bullshit at that point. Because I'd be like, all right, are you going to try another thing where in 6 months you're going to be like, you know, I'm this completely different person now. And you just, and actually just kidding. I don't know. Every time you get a new role, I have to deal with like you're somebody else. I'm not your guinea pig. Or I am and I'm bored and this is fun. I don't know.
Oh, maybe you just want to cuddle, little guinea pig. Maria, your turn. What's your sticky pickle? Nasty roomies.
It's a roommate problem, and I feel very fortunate.
Love these.
I know. I never really had roommate problems. My roommates are almost all angels. I had a few weird ones, but they didn't last very long. This one's two roomies who've known each other for years. So we've got Jenna and Nance.
Jenna and Nance.
And Nance.
I love the name Nance.
Nance. And they've been roommates for at least 3 years. They never knew each other before becoming roommates. It was one of those like Craigslist situations where, hey, you know, I have a vacancy and I need someone to share my apartment. They're not friends, but they're functional roommates. They get along well enough. They say hello, but they mostly stay out of each other's way. They don't hang out even in the apartment. But you know, if they use each other's things, they take good care of it. You know, if somebody damages somebody else's thing, they fess up and they replace it. They're both clean enough. They seem to be considerate enough. Like, they've got this comfortable equilibrium of living together as roommates for 3 years, that they're sort of used to each other's habits and sounds and comings and goings, but they just politely ignore each other as otherwise.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's kind of how I was with a lot of my roommates, too. Just like, you coexist, but you don't spend time with each other. And then, you know, as often happens with roommate situations, somebody comes in and ruins the whole lovely equilibrium. And in this case, it's a guy. Nance's new squeeze named Chris.
Yeah.
So this is like a classic situation. So Chris is spending time at Nance's place, you know, having a nice time. But he finds
sexy sex.
Yeah, they're having sex. But but Chris finds himself totally turned off by Jenna, the roommate. So Chris, spending time at Nance's place, finds out that Jenna microwaves fish for lunch almost every day without fail. Because, you know, fish is healthy. And
it's Jenna's apartment.
And it's Jenna's freaking apartment. So, you know, you're not supposed to microwave fish in an office. That's sort of considered a faux pas, at least in some circles. Like, you don't do that because it's gross. But, you know, this is your home. You can microwave fish if you want. But the smell makes Chris feel downright nauseous. And, you know, they live in one of these post-war, like New York apartments where the walls are basically like cardboard thin. And Chris and Nance can hear Jenna's bathroom habits. And Jenna's at home, so she's totally uninhibited. So morning and night, Chris is hearing Jenna gargling, ripping farts, hawking up phlegm, irrigating her sinuses, scraping her tongue, belching all her microwave fish burps. Like, every orifice is making multiple sounds.
And he is just I'm revolted.
He's just like, and it's like echoing off these cardboard walls, and the acoustics are amazing. But, you know, he's hearing it. And he's like, you know, I'm here for Nance, not for Jenna. Like, it's one thing if his girlfriend was doing this, but it's his girlfriend's roommate.
What does Nance have to say about this? Does he turn to Nance going, I can't stand this?
Right. Like, but Nance had noticed all this before, and she'd kind of given Chris a heads up that, like, you know, my roommate's very earthy. But, you know, you can't really screen roommate habits like that. And earthy, right? You can't screen roommate habits like that. You know, and she does, you know, clean up after herself. And, you know, we've got a good thing going here. You just kind of have to live with it. Like, this is just
STFU.
Right.
Yeah.
And she figures, you know, it's Jenna's home, too. And if you can't let it all hang out when you're at home, where can you? But Chris is saying to Nance, I'm so grossed out. And maybe it was a bit out of line. You know, maybe, because he's not a roommate, but a mere Peller Moore. But
yeah.
One day after hearing Jenna rip yet another massive, juicy trumpet fart in the living room, like the curtains are blowing, Chris is like, I've had enough. I have to confront her royal grossness. So he says a few things, maybe a few things he shouldn't have said.
Oh, no.
And Jenna, understandably, perhaps, does not take this well. And why should she in her own home just, like, accommodate Nance's newest hookup? Some random guy. And Nance's and Chris's relationship has nothing to do with Jenna. Like, that's what Jenna's saying. And then, you know, Jenna's like, well, now that you're yelling at me about my habits, I have a few things to say about the two of you.
Uh-huh.
Nance and Chris, you two have a rather heavy weed habit. That smell, I hate it. I hate it waft. And, you know, it gets everywhere. Everything's sticky. And that smell reeks. And not only that, you guys don't clean up after yourselves when you're making a big romantic schmoopy dinner and you play stupid loud accordion music in the kitchen. I have to listen to your, and it's like really obnoxious, stereotypical French touristy accordion music that people think is romantic, but it's terrible.
Yeah.
Jenna's there like, I don't want to hear your schmoopy kissy faces and your dumb accordion music while I'm eating dinner. And then you have the most loud, obnoxious sex with, like, the dumbest sounds I've ever heard. It's so gross. So, like, I have to put up with you two.
Yeah, Brian Adams Heaven. It's not a sex song!
It's like, I haven't said anything to the two of you because I'm just like, this is roommate life. You have to deal with it. So.
Yeah.
Now everybody's mad at each other. Chris is
what do you
saying
do now,
to his
Carl?
Girlfriend that he's not coming over anymore because her roommate's too gross and Jenna's not comfortable in her own home. What to do?
Yeah,
okay.
I think I wish he'd asked me before the whole blow-up situation because I would have been way better then.
No, you know? The damage has been done.
Because pre-damage, I would have said he could, you know, if he really couldn't stand it, he would first have to befriend her. Right? Mm-hmm. Befriend Jenna and get to know the good bits of Jenna and ask Nance what's great about Jenna. And she'll be like, you know, whatever. And see that stuff. And then go, hey, Jenna, I know I'm here a lot. How can I make how can I make life better for you? And hope to God she asks the question back, right?
Mm.
And then you could go, could you just maybe squeeze your farts out a little less... less loudly, a little less enthusiastically.
Those farts are just loud. So,
see, I don't think I would love that. I think I do feel I get grossed out by people if I don't like them, and then you know, there's a lot of like noise that I'm not used to. I feel for him. I just don't think he handled it very well. He could probably just have said, "Hey, Nance, baby, come to mine instead," right?
Was it Chris's place? Should he have said anything at all?
Oh, well, should. Fuck, you know, sometimes you explode.
Yeah.
I think he knew right away when she went, let me tell you about you.
Yeah.
I think he kind of went, oh, fuck, I didn't expect that.
Nobody's
coming.
A saint here, right? I mean, Nance could go over to Chris's place, but Chris's place is even worse. So, you know, it's the best of both.
And he invaded their territory effectively. So I kind of feel like Nance should have said, pack that shit in. This is how we roll. And if you don't like it, you can hit the road, Jack. Or just don't come over, right? I'll meet you at Starbucks instead.
We'll have sex in the bathroom.
Yeah,
you know,
that's so exciting. That's totally, totally exciting. That's where everyone wants
Starbucks
to be right now
sex.
During pandemic, right?
That's like some exotic location.
Yeah,
now.
It's like a speakeasy.
I'd be like, if you can't beat him, join him. Like, okay, if she's ripping big farts, you rip big farts with her. See how she likes it.
Yeah. Like, no, but then they just start farting on each other's faces. And it's just like, come on.
Hilarious. Oh, I mean, I find that really funny. spoiler alert, I'm the farter. In the-
yeah. Yeah. I'm just sitting here laughing nervously. The Achilles heel.
I know.
And if Nance had come and seen her and said, hey, my boyfriend's going to spend time here, and are you cool with that? And what, tell me ever if it pisses you off. And you know what? Maybe you could just stop ripping them. Like, maybe they could come to some agreement. Maybe she could pay. Nance could pay, saying, every day there's no fart sound, I'll give you £5. $5. I'll give you $5.
Pay somebody not yeah. to fart.
Or fart softly. You know, there's a lot of, we just got to brainstorm. We just got to brainstorm.
there's a little fart jar. Like and when they work up to like $50, they go out for a nice dinner. Or they get like a really nice scented candle. I don't know.
And that's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. We made you smile. You know what to do. Subscribe and review.
You can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
See you next week.
This Sticky Pickle episode was created, hosted, and produced by Maria Farmazis and Carol Terrio, inspired by the internet, embellished by us.
Is this going to be your thing now? You're going to try and get... Oh, no.
Yeah, I just got to learn how to... I have to learn how to pounce like a kitten without my tail showing, right? So that you can see me coming.
You have to redirect... Or something. You have to fake me out somewhere.
Yeah, I gotta go, oh, this story is really boring. And then, come on!
Get ya! Giorgio!